Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House as we head around the corner here and find Mr. Harper out in the garden this morning, getting ready to work on a little bit of lawn repair too. Looks like.
Well,
lawn transition.
It is
maybe
that
is a better word.
It is that ugly duckling stage for a lot of lawns, and you know the lawns have an identity crisis right now, and they've had we had 108 degrees a couple weeks ago that kind of started the transition pretty effectively. It started burning the ryegrass up. Then it's been 78 and, 50 at night.
But we're not complaining.
No, absolutely not. But it looks like we're headed to more normal temperatures, from here through next week, right around 100. So that's going to help the transition. And when I say help, you want the ryegrass to die now. You need to force it out, because what happens far too often about mid-July, people come into the nursery and say, my lawn died. Like, no, your ryegrass finally died, and it stayed alive so long, you're right, your Bermuda grass is now dead underneath. It will not come back. It has been squashed out, dominated by the ryegrass, and it can only stay dormant for so long, and it finally dies. So mow your lawn shorter. Don't increase the water. I'm not a big advocate of turning water off, although a lot of people do, and it is a successful way to do it, but that causes some stress to the Bermuda grasses that are underlying as well. But if you at least just don't increase it, and you mow it quite a bit shorter, even scalping it, dethatch it, aerate it, any of those types of things that will get in and get rid of that ryegrass canopy and remove that canopy. Your lawn's going to be ugly either way, so you might as well have it kind of be ugly all at one time by scalping and thatching and have it be brown, and then have it come back in a little more orderly fashion. Then the normal transition, if you don't do anything else at all, is just going to be a spot here, a spot there, a spot here. And we get those calls too. I got a spot, it's just not dying, but that just particular spot, the soil's a little harder, maybe the sprinklers don't quite reach it as well, so the ryegrass is dying quicker there. So force the transition by mowing the lawn short, dethatching. I'd love it if people, I had a guy in the nursery, I wanted to hug him the other day. He actually had rented an aerator. He was scalping, he had thatched, and he was aerating. He goes, now what, I want it. I said, man, here you go. We loaded him up with soil sulfur and some good organic Hickman's lawn food. And, I said, man, get those holes opened up, go over this with all of this, kind of maybe brush it, rake it back in, chop those cores up. I'm anxious to hear from him in another week or so and see how his lawn turned out. But any of those processes you can do to get rid of that ryegrass.
I'm way overdue for core aerating. It's been about 4 years since I did it. But the year I did it, John, I know I used at least a third less water to get the same results.
More than likely. And even if you don't, the lawn's just going to look better. If you've got places that have a hard time growing grass because they're hard and compacted, with the same amount of water, you're going to have a whole lot nicer lawn. But certainly, there isn't a golf course hardly in the state that doesn't aerify.
Gosh.
And they're getting ready to do it right now. So, they're going through the same thing. And they either aerify or they really deeply run the blades of the thatcher down there and kind of create the same deal. Yeah. And get rid of that old thatch, open that soil up, get some fertilizer on it, and man, that it just
when you core aerate, you just let the plugs dissolve back into the ground.
Chop. What I do is go over it with the mower with no catcher.
After you've aerated, you've got all these plugs laying out on the ground.
I've got the plugs laying on the ground. Then I put my granular sulfur on and my lawn food pellets on, and then I take the mower, take the thatcher off, and I just go around and chop it all up.
Well, Scotty's Lawnmower Service must love you.
Yeah.
Blade sharpening.
Yeah.
Jay must have core aerated.
If that stuff's pretty wet and soft, and oh, by the way, if you're going to core aerate, water really good a day or two before you do that, or that aerator just be bouncing you all over the place. And mark your sprinkler heads. Do not go over a sprinkler head with a Thatcher or a Core aerator. Yeah, well, I usually wait to get my lawn sharp. You know, then that's a good time to take. After you do all of that, you're probably not going to have to mow for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Then take your mower in for the season service, tune-up, sharpening, after you've done all of that, because it's you're not going to need it for, yeah, at least 2 weeks probably. So, yeah, they do love me. I'm in there sharpening all the time because I run over stuff I shouldn't run over with my lawnmower.
I use mine as a grader.
Yeah, I had to buy a new mower the other day because I took it in. He goes, I can't fix it anymore. It's going to cost you. I've got to use. He always usually has some pretty good rebuilt.
Yeah,
McLean's
he does.
There. It's like I got one here. It's only going to be about $50 more than what it's going to cost. I said, done. Load it up. Let's go.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you've got a question about your landscape or garden, it's 1-888-767-4348. Let's start off this morning with Larry in Black Canyon City. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How may we help you?
I got a 20 by 40 foot garden, and I wanted to get some sunscreen for it, and I seen it on the internet, and I go, well, what percentage of sunblock do you want? 30%, 40%, 50%, goes on to 80%. Well, which one should I get?
Probably the lightest, 30 or 40. I wouldn't go any heavier than 50 for sure. You get it too shady, you're going to have all kinds of problems. And usually 30 to 40% is enough to take the curse off, to just, you know, get it enough shade that you can carry plants through the summer into the hot weather as good as you need to.
Okay, yeah, so I was kind of curious about it because, you know, they got it on the internet, but they don't tell you.
Well, they don't tell you because they don't know, and it would vary on where you are in the country. But I go as light as possible, and unless you're trying to grow super tropical stuff that needs tons of shade, if you're just shading a vegetable garden and trying to lengthen the season, 30 or 40% is plenty.
And there are screens for windows, and there's also screens for garden. A lot of them call them agricultural cloth.
Correct. Yes.
And that can be a different pricing point.
Yeah. You want to buy, you know, the appropriate material. You don't want fancy colors. You know, you want all of that. Just, you know, most of those are too dense anyway. And then there's some local companies here that will size that, sew it, grommet it if you wanted a custom size. It will last a lot longer if you've got sewn taped edges and grommets in it than if you just have cut frayed edges and you're trying to string something through those cut edges. So,
I ordered mine from Phoenix Tent and Awning down on McDowell, the oldest license holder in Arizona.
Contractor's license holder?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
So there's a good resource for you, Larry. I know that's a ways from Black Canyon City, but it'll be worth the drive if it's the right product.
You know, that kind of product, again, you give them the measurements, they can do it and mail it to you or FedEx it to you too.
Now, what are you trying to protect this time of year out in the garden? Everything's burned up, right?
Well, I wouldn't think.
Melon
no.
season.
Well, it really shouldn't be. I mean, tomatoes, I'm just picking my first tomatoes. Now and they're fine. You know, 100 degrees even with its, you know, mid 60s, upper 60s, low 70s at night is not going to burn tomatoes, not if they're watered properly. It's over 105 and in the, you know, 80s at night that you probably, if you want to extend it, that's when you need to extend it. Now, if you've still got some winter stuff, maybe spinach or lettuces or those types of things, I don't even know that shading's going to help that. You know, it's just going to get too warm for them. Then they're going to stretch if they're too shady. So you should be transitioning out of those. It's probably a little late to plant most anything much, you know, other than melons and cucumbers and eggplant and okra and those types of things. And none of those things need any shade screening at all. So, you know, the shade screening thing is just to kind of probably try and stretch your tomatoes and peppers into the summer. And they're just now maybe needing to think about shading. You shouldn't have had to shade at all till even yet.
And for the gardener, it's a nice touch when you're out there.
Well, it's creature comfort. Yeah, people come into the nursery and say, oh, this stuff under the shade. I say, well, this is here for you.
Plant doesn't need it.
Most of these plants don't need that, but it's here for you, so that you'll spend more time walking around here.
Now, we had an interview last year with the giant pumpkin grower contest that y'all waited at Harper's.
Next weekend.
That's next weekend.
Next weekend.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and they've got a couple of non-pumpkin entries this year, a couple of big squashes. And I think I might be mistaken, but I think there's 8 or 9 pumpkins entered. I saw some pictures of them the other day. They're huge. They're coming along good. So,
they're mostly growing around what part?
You know, most of these guys are the originator and the guy that holds the state record is at the Scottsdale Community Gardens.
Okay.
Right there behind Scottsdale Community College on the Indian Reservation.
And that was 400 and something pounds, if I remember right.
Or 486 pounds, thereabouts.
And you just turn it into a big mulch after that, a big compost?
They save the seeds, and yeah, then the rest is compost.
So that's next weekend you're doing
next Saturday at our location on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas. Yes.
We'll have to get a live stream reporter out there for the big final moment of...
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Kind of goes along with your urban garden topic next Saturday.
Perfect. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923. And if you need a little help with plant or insect identification, you can take a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com, and we'll put our resources together for you to get you the best possible answer and information we can.